tea. I said, that's pretty cool, eh? Eh? Hey, welcome again. I'm happy to see you here today. As in the announcements, we got some things for you at the table, a gift bag if it's your first time here. And then on the table, my message today is, and for the next 3 weeks, it's going to be titled, It's Time. Today, the title of the message, the beginning of this new series is called, It's Time for Change. And we just wanted to make some things to help you to remember that. We made these little wristbands, and on them, it simply says, It's Time. If you go through your life, your day, you get discouraged, something tries to sneak back up on you that you let go, oh, you look down at that and say, man, it's time. No, that's not going to happen to me again. Maybe there's a challenge in your life that you've been dealing with, and God sets you free from it. But they always try to sneak back in. If you were here and heard my message last week, Jesus came into Jerusalem. They laid down palm branches, but the next thing he did, he went into the temple, and he turned over tables that he turned over 3 years prior to that. Why? Why does that happen? Because junk always tries to make its way back into our lives. But he's come to set you and I free. He's come to lift you up. We just want to encourage you and help you to remember that. We also had some great t-shirts made. Aaron that does a great job on those announcements. Weren't they great this morning? I mean, just a great. She's up there modeling that t-shirt, wearing it loud and proud. I mean, the cool people wear those t-shirts. You can't be cool and not have one of those t-shirts. I just want you to know. And then also on your way out, we've got another little gift for you. And I'll tell you about it right at the end of service. Father, I thank you today for your great love, your great power, your plan and your purpose that only you knew. That even before the earth was created, your plan for your people for today was already mapped out and already etched and waiting for us to accept it and live it. So I pray today, Lord, just for the next few minutes, you'll use every word that's spoken and that you'll bring glory and honor to your name and that you'll bring healing and help and you'll lift people out of places that they never intended to go. I give you thanks, Lord, because you alone are worthy. You alone are the one that can do that. I thank you, God, that you are larger and bigger than any challenge or any difficulty that we could ever face, Lord. You are our answer, and I give you thanks and praise for all of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen. If you have your Bible, if you have a Bible, if you have your Bible on your phone, an iPad, iTouch, whatever it is, or if you don't want to do that, look up at the screen this morning, Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple verses there this morning. You know, I begin to think of how big God is compared to how big any of the challenges that I face. You know, you never really get a good glimpse of how small your life is until you have the opportunity to be up in a plane and some 30,000 feet in the air, and you look out the window, and you look down on the earth, and you see, wow, that place is big. I mean, I've been in a plane that started off in the dark, flew all through the day, and landed in the dark. A long time. We traveled a long way. We didn't even make it, you know, halfway around the world. The world is huge. And the Bible says that God, he flung the universes in space. That's the God that we serve today. And when you look at your challenges and your deficiencies and your lacks against who he is and how big he is, you think, is there anything too hard for God? I want to encourage you today that nothing is too difficult for him. How many of you believe that are in the house today? Come on. Why don't we give God one more great praise before we start? John the Apostle, the writer of the book of John and the writer of Revelation, he was one of the disciples of the apostles that didn't end like many of the others. In fact, his ending was different altogether. He was what was called banished. He was sent to an island called Patmos, and that's a whole other message. But the Bible says that while he was there, and if you read the beginning of Revelation chapter 1, you get more of it. The Bible says that when he was there, he had a visitation from Jesus that startled him because Jesus looked different than he had ever looked like before heretofore when John saw him here. And the scripture says that when he saw him, in fact, I want to begin to read it in verse 17. It says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like I was dead. But he laid his right hand on me and he said to me, 'Don't be afraid.'" This is what he said. He said, "I'm the first and the last. I am he who lives, and I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore." And then he just amens himself. He says, amen. That's a good place to say amen. And this is what he says. And this is what I want to just look at just for a couple moments this morning. He said, I hold the keys to hell and to death. And Jesus says to you and I this morning that he didn't just come into the world that we would have another holiday to celebrate and another holiday that we can look at and just remember what he did. But we recognize Jesus that he was on a mission that day, that he, when he died, he, the Bible says, he went into the depths of hell and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he stands in heaven today and he says, "I not only have the power of them in this world," he said, "I have the power of them within your life. And no longer and not any other point in history can death, can hell, can the power of darkness have dominion over your life. Because Jesus, our Redeemer, our Lord, our risen Savior, our first, our last, our Alpha and the Omega, he stands up today and he stands in the midst of us and he says, "I have the keys of everything that holds you down today. And I'm going to release you into a new calling, into a new future so that your dreams can begin to come to pass." And only Jesus can unlock your hell and unlock your death and unlock you out of your place of darkness, because he is the one who is resurrected and he brings that resurrection into your life and into mine today. And I'm telling you, that is good news to you and I. And today it's time. For some of you, maybe you've waited, maybe you thought, well, I don't know, maybe you're waiting for the weather change. Hey, great news today. I think it's changing. Come on, amen. But what is it? Here's the question I want to ask you today. What is in your life that is dead or it's dying? Because I've done a lot of funerals over my life. I've been around a lot of people who have gone on to be with the Lord. We know that their body is dead. But then what is more tragic than that is a person who is alive, yet he's a walking dead person. Lost hope. Is going through issues in their life, has faced a challenge in their life, has faced some kind of a setback that has derailed them off of their future and their calling. And they live in this life that has no hope to it, has no meaning to it. They get up day after day, they go to bed and do the same thing over and over with no vitality in their soul. And I want to just pause here this morning and I want to just ask you, just to examine, there's many examples, but here's three. Number one, for some of you, you may be going through an emotional death. You're stressed out. Something that's going on in your life. Something that has been created in your life. Things are just not going the way that you thought they should. You're going through these seasons where you lose sleep. You haven't slept. I talk to people every day. I can't sleep. I'm up all night. Your emotions have been frayed. Maybe it's because of loneliness. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe it's something with work in your life. Maybe it's something in your home, in your family. It's an emotional death that you're going through. Maybe it's a relational death. Maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe it's been a long time ago, but it's so real and it's so alive in you today that your feelings are still frayed from it. Maybe it's a death, a friend that you lost. Maybe it's a relational breakup that you've been through and you're still trying to put the pieces of your life back together. Maybe it's a family member that you haven't had any relationship with for a long time. And then I think one of the most serious deaths are spiritual death. This is the one that is so daunting to everyone. Maybe you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior of your life. And you're here today and you wonder, maybe somebody dragged you here. I don't think my son ever told me, Dad, you're a Bible thumper to me growing up. I love it. Seemed like it worked out okay. How many of you think so? But spiritual death can be so traumatic. I'm not just talking about the people that don't know Christ. I'm talking about the people who have a relationship, who have asked the Savior to come. And it is a scripture I'm going to read in a minute. And he's moved into your life, but there's no life to you anymore. Everything about you is cold, and you don't feel God's Spirit working in you anymore. When you pray, God seems to be far away. You've come to a place in your life where you're cynical about anything and everything that happens around you. You're spiritually deceased. And Jesus says, I come today that you might have life. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he gives us some hope in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. He says, and if the same Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit living inside of you. Not because you're good. Not because you got anything down. Not because we can come to God and we clean ourselves up. No. The Bible says there are none righteous, not even one. That's for all you that need a halo adjustment this morning. I just thought I'd help you out with that. But everyone needs a Savior. And everyone needs God's Holy Spirit working inside of us to bring life to our dead body. And that scripture means the same power that raised Jesus out of the grave that day is the same Spirit that will raise you up, and it's the same God that took the keys of hell and death and can extract them off of your life today and cause you to live like you have never lived before. I'm getting excited up here. I don't know if you can tell right now. And so you and I don't have to live with this death over our lives any longer. Because the Spirit of Jesus, because the Spirit that raised him from the grave desires to lift you out of whatever death that has tried to come and grab your life and hold you down. And I believe with all of my heart, when I was praying for this today and this week, I know that there's people in here. And I believe there's one, maybe there's five here today. You've been living in a spiritual dark hole. And you're wondering, God, what is it going to take to lift me out of it? I'm going to tell you today, you've come to the right place at the right time in your life. Because if that same Christ, that same Spirit, Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he live in you, he'll lift you out of that hole today. He'll make you to live like you've never lived before and cause that darkness to come off of your life. Come on, give Jesus a great praise in here. And I love how the Message Bible says it. It stands to reason. The same verse, same scripture in the Message translation. He says it stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead, look at it, moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. And when God lives and breathes in you, you are delivered from that dead life. There's no drug that can hold you down. There's no addiction that can hold you down. There's no breakup that can hold you down. There's no devil in hell that can hold you down. He's going to bring life into you today. Come on. And so the best way that you and I, we can celebrate Easter is to know and to allow and to make that same Spirit that raised him out of that grave that day begin to live in you. And he said on the night before he died in John chapter 14 and verse 19, he says, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Why? Here it is. He says, because I live, look at it, you also will live. Come on, I'm saying that over somebody today. You're going to live. Come on. I said you're going to live. Because he lives, you can live. That means you don't have to feel alone anymore. You don't have to have loneliness take over your life. You don't have to have some crutch come alongside of you and hold you up. Jesus lives inside of you. The scripture says he moves right inside of you. And the time for you to know that and the time for change is right now. now. Today is your day. Come on, do you believe that with all of your heart? I do. And then you wonder, well, how do I get that, preacher? How does that happen? I want to just share these final four thoughts with you. This could be the moment of your life. I'm talking to the person that doesn't know Christ and the person that does, and you've just been gliding along. Number one, you know that God, He searches for you. Hey, know that today. Many people get that backwards, that there's a great search going on. And it's not just you searching for Him, although that is important, but that's not what it's all about. Did you know that He is searching for you today? That He is looking for you? The Bible says in John 15, 16, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you. We think sometimes that when we're bad and we go and we want to hide away from God because we don't want Him to see us the way we are. And we think that we can just hide around the corner and maybe one day when I get it right, I'll come crawling out and I'll crawl back to God. And maybe if He's nice, He won't hit me too hard with His holy hammer and smash me up a little bit and He'll accept me. And maybe some way I can just slide into heaven, and nothing could be further from the truth. He's looking for you. He's searching for you. He wants you. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3:10, with Adam and Eve had sin and they found themselves in a dark hole. The Bible says, He answered. He said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid from you. There is God Himself walking in the garden. I love how the scripture says it. In the cool of the day. And He's looking for Adam and Eve because they had sinned and they thought they need to hide from God because He certainly doesn't want to see me the way I am. But nothing could be further from the truth. When God found me, my brothers and my sisters, I was dead, the Bible says, in my trespasses, in my sin. And Jesus doesn't wait for you and I to get perfect before He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you peace and I'll give you rest. He doesn't wait for you to get everything right. He doesn't wait for you to get over your hang-ups, your addictions, your troubles, your issues. He doesn't wait for anything like that. But He searches for you and He is looking for somebody today. And He wants you to know that He's not going to give up until He touches you. He lays His hand on you and transforms and changes your life. Oh man, I'm happy about that today. Listen, the second thing He does is He rescues. I love this. He wants to lift you out of that broken and that corroded state that you're in. He doesn't wait for you. Okay, Lord, just hang on a little bit. Wait till I get this taken care of. Wait till I get that cleaned up. Wait till I'm better at this. No, no. He rescues you just the way you are. And I'm so happy for that. The third thing He does is He restores you. This is so beautiful. I don't know about you, but I've been in periods in my life where I've become broken. My life has become corroded and disoriented. And you know what God did? He not only searched for me, He rescued me. And when He found me, He restored me. And it just doesn't happen in a moment, because true restoration may take some moments of your life. But He takes all the junk, He takes all the brokenness, and He begins a process. And He restores you, not the way you were before you got broke, but He takes you back to the way that He intended for you to be when you were brand new. David says in Psalm 23, He restores my soul. Who am I speaking to today in this house? He restores my soul. And the last point is He redeems us. Oh, I'm so thankful for the power, the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes the broken, the dead, the hurt, the disenfranchised, the disassociated from everything else. He takes them and He places value on it. And He causes it to be what it was created to be. He redeemed you. The psalmist says in 103 verse 4. He redeemed your life from the pit. And crowned you with steadfast love and His mercy. And he wants to lift somebody up today. He wants to encourage someone here today. He wants to bring a resurrection in your life today. I'm reminded of the story in John chapter 11 when Mary and Martha's sister Lazarus, who the Bible says was a friend of Jesus, he became sick and the sisters called for their friend, for Jesus to come. He's healing everyone and they call for him to come. And the Bible says that Jesus, he stopped, he just kind of took his time along the way and he was just healing other people and doing all kinds of stuff along the way. And he ended up coming 2 days late and their brother Lazarus had died. If you know the story at all, it wasn't a good scene right then and there. Can you imagine how Mary and Martha felt? Here they were. Jesus said he was my brother's friend and he didn't show up. Martha said, if you had been here on time, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to her, your brother will live again. And Martha says to him, I know he'll live again in the resurrection. Listen to me. And this is what Jesus said to him. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, he shall live. And if he lives, he shall never die. And this is what he leaves her with. This is the question that I want to pose to you today. He looks at her and he says, and he speaks this question across history, millenniums. And it's echoing in this house today. And this is what he says to her. He says, do you believe this? The Apostle Paul, he wraps this up in Ephesians 1:19. He says, I pray that you will begin to understand. For some of you, you got to start sometime. You got to start somewhere. For some of you, you've never given your heart to Christ. For some of you, you've given it to him, but you've drifted away from him. And Paul says, I pray that today you'll begin to understand how incredibly great his power is. Can you begin today to know how great his power is to help those who believe? That's what Jesus said to Martha and Mary and to you and I today. Do you believe this? Because if you do, the scripture says it's the same. Paul says the same thing. He says it's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated in him in the place of honor as God's right hand in heaven. Play for me, Rufus. The power of Jesus that raised him from the dead. Paul says, can you begin today to believe that in your own life? Can you begin to believe that he wants to lift you out of darkness and death and dying? Can you believe today that no matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've been up to? My mom used to tell me when I was a kid, she goes, I know what you've been up to by the people you've hung around. I hated it when she said that to me. She was right all the time. Do you know Jesus? He knows what you've been up to. He knows everything about you. And you know what's so cool about it? It's okay. Because this moment, he comes to our lives. And he says, this is the moment that changes everything. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm talking to many. Young, middle-aged, older, man, woman, boy, girl. Who is it that you're in a dark place in your life? And you just need God to help lift you out of that. I want you to close your eyes. Just bow your head just for a minute. I don't want anyone moving or leaving right now. There are moments like this where his Holy Spirit can do more in a moment than anything anyone could say for days, weeks, months, and years. Many are here today. You know what that moment was like in your own life when heaven collided with earth on your behalf and something changed in your life. For some of you, you've never made that decision to make Jesus the Lord and Master of your life. And my goodness, I pray you don't leave today without doing that. You can do it. There's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that question that he paused to Martha and Mary that day, do you believe this? He is asking you today. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, daughter, son. Do you believe? Do you really believe? Young, old, it doesn't matter how old you are, what you've been through, what you've done, what you haven't done. Jesus comes today, as that scripture says, and he wants to move in to your life and take things over. Your heads are all bowed. Your eyes are all closed. No one moving or looking. This is one of the most special moments. I'm sensing God's Holy Spirit here in a way that it's just magnificent. He's moving in this house right now. Person to person, family to family, challenge to challenge, issue to issue. And he's saying, none of it's too big. None of it's too hard for me. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Your heads are still bowed. Your eyes are closed. In 3 more minutes, I'm going to pray for 2 types of people today. I want my people that pray with me, I just want you to come make your way down to the front here. Heads are still bowed. Eyes are still closed. 2 groups of people I want to pray for this morning. And I don't want a thing from you. I don't want nothing from you. But Jesus wants your life. 2 groups of people. Number one, it's that group of people you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Today is your day. Maybe you've gone through a difficulty in your life. Maybe you've just been empty. Maybe you've been struggling. I don't know if you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. You've never given him your life. Things are not too far gone for you to do that right now. That's the first group of people. And I'm going to ask you, before we close, all I want you to do, I want to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to Christ, when I tell you to, I want you to raise your hand. Just a moment. The second group of people, I want to pray for those that you know Jesus. You've had an experience with him. But for whatever reason, life can be tough sometimes. No one's here to criticize or judge. Listen, anybody that criticizes or judges someone else is just there to cover up their own life. We're here wide open today. We're here to pray, though. If you've given your life to Christ, you just got off course, maybe things have just been troubling to you, maybe it's your life has been in pain, you've been hurting, you've gone through some of these things that I talked about, God wants to lift you out of that today. And all I want to do is I want to pray for you right where you're at this morning. 2 groups of people. Number one, you've never given your heart to Christ. Number two, you've given your life to Christ, but things just aren't right. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand in a minute. That's all I'm going to ask from you, because I want to pray. We're going to pray all over this audience this day. I'm going to ask Jesus to do what he said he would do. On the count of 3, when I say 3, you've given your life to Christ, or you've already been saved and you're just away from him and you know today is the day. It's time for you. When I count to 3, I want you to just lift your hand in the air, because we're going to pray all together. Just want you to put it up. You can leave it up. You can put it down. Whatever you want to do. I'm not here to embarrass or make anybody feel bad today. I'm here to help lift you out of darkness. When I say 3, I want you to lift your hands. 1, 2, 3. Lift up your hand all over the house. Lift it up. Hold it up. Let heaven see it just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Pray this prayer. Every one of you. Everyone. I want you to pray it loud. Say, Lord Jesus, this is my time. This is my time. I come to you today. Give you my life. I surrender all to you. I ask you to move in. Move in, Lord. Take over my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my God. Deliver me, Lord, out of the depths of darkness into your marvelous light. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, everybody said amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord today. Come on. I want you to stand to your feet if you would this morning. Two more things before you leave. Number one, if you made that prayer for the first time in your life, for Christ to come into your heart, I want you to come down and tell one of these folks down at the altar here. They want to give you a Bible, just pray with you, agree with you, that life will be different. If you were one of the people that raised your hand, things just aren't the way it should be. Before you leave today, I want you to come down. I want you to just tell somebody, say, hey, will you pray for me? I just need to get it right. They're not going to ask you anything. They're nice people. They'll bless you. And then the second thing is, when you walk out, I told the staff, I said, you know, I love the people of God so much. Bring one of them down here to me, with one of you. Bring one down. Bring one of them little bags. Quickly. I told the staff, I said, let's do something special for everybody on Sunday. Are you going to bring one? Oh, they're out there. They're waiting for you. I told them, I said, I want to give everybody a kiss. They said, Pastor, you can't do that. I said, sure I can. So we made up these little bitty bags with kisses in them. All I need is one, David. Run down here. Go get it, Brad. Go back there because we don't want... Here. I have a little kiss for every single one of you. And on there is a card that says something extra to show you that God loves you. I love you. Let's pray and then dismiss. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray blessing over your people today in a magnificent way. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. If you gave your heart to Christ, if you raised your hand for it, you need prayer, you come on down. I love you. God bless you. Go in his grace today. You come down. If you gave your life to Christ, you come down. You need prayer for anything before you leave. You come down. These folks want to pray for you.